Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Zero Lux. Let the intro begin.
We are the main ghost hunters.
How many people are here?
I can be touched on contact. Are you happy to see us?
Who's that?
It's a little bit. Someone here? Hello?
It's a definite feeling being lost.
Are you touching the girl, Dan?
Whoa. How long have you been here?
I've been here.
Do you stay here in this house?
This is all I go about that long. Are you able to calm down here?
What was that?
Of Maine Ghost Hunters presents Zero Lux Radio. Tonight is Monday, November 28th, and we are here with another episode of our many episodes pertaining to paranormal fraud. Tonight, our special guest is C.J. Machetto. C.J. will be telling us a little bit about his history and his experience with paranormal fraud, and we're going to have C.J. on in just a moment. Before we do that, I'm going to kick off a commercial, and then we'll be right back to C.J.
Would you like to know what it's like to be a Maine ghost hunter? See us live and in action on our YouTube video channel located at www.youtube.com/MaineGhostHunters. I guess let's start by maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from. So where are you located, CJ?
Okay, great. Well, I currently reside in Lowell, Massachusetts. I was born and raised primarily in, like, Newburyport, up in Salisbury, you know, down the beach and stuff like that. I've always just kind of been in this area, you know, Essex County area of Massachusetts. And then, I've been in Lowell for the past 2 years, so it's been really, really good to be down here.
Great. Now, when did you start getting interested in the paranormal?
Okay, well, that actually stretches all the way back to, born, like I said, in Newburyport. And the house I lived in was actually built by, I don't know if it was a great-grandfather or perhaps a grandfather, in the early, like, 1920s type of thing. And that house is just was just full of spirits growing up. My mother and my aunts, like, they all used to see, you know, my mother used to see apparitions of her great-grandmother and also her grandmother, and towards the end of the time we lived there, her actual mother, which is my grandmother, had passed in the house. She had a massive heart attack in the living room, and my mother was always, you know, just seeing spirits or, you know, there was always something going on. My room was actually up in the attic, and, you know, it was so often that you just hear, like, thundering footsteps up the stairs. You know, there were your stereotypical kind of creaky old attic stairs that, like, you know, the cat couldn't even come up them without making a sound. They were just very noisy, very hard to sneak out of my house when I was young. And, you know, I'd always hear people coming up and, you know, thinking it's friends or you know, family coming up the stairs to see what I was up to. You know, it'd always be nobody there, or I'd think it would be the cat, and then I'd see the cat, like, sleeping on the bed or something, and, you know, it just always felt kind of like that in that house. And I believe, you know, my mother and my aunt, I personally have never used a Ouija board, but I can recall them using it one time in the house and getting an answer to a question that I had asked them to ask the board that nobody really knew. It had concerned, like, a secret crush that I had at the time. There was a certain girl that I really had a crush on, and, you know, I came home and, you know, thought nothing of it because they were all in there, like, you know, hey, Chris, we're talking to Nana, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, and then at the fridge getting a soda, and I'm like, why don't you ask Nana who my next girlfriend's going to be? And, you know, it said the girl's name that was, like, my secret, like, crush. Like, I was so, like,
that I had a secret.
Yeah, it was crazy. And, you know, just to hear her, like, I remember my mother, you know, her name was Janice. I have no idea whatever became of her, but my mother's like, Chris, who's Janice? And, like, I almost dropped, like, the can of soda, you know, like, shocked, like, how, you know, plumbing my secret desire type of thing. Like, it was pretty crazy.
Now, did you say that your mother saw spirits?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can't really vouch too much for the rest of the family, but they've always kind of said that the women on my mother's side, you know, kind of have, like, a slight gift in that regard as far as, you know, seeing spirits, maybe talking to spirits, that type of thing. I wouldn't say they're, like, full-fledged, you know, like, psychic or anything, but they are definitely sensitive to things. It's kind of like all the boys became, like, good artists, and the women got that little gift passed to them. So I got gypped.
Well, let's talk a little bit about fraud in the paranormal. So you run a paranormal group in Lowell.
Yep.
And what's the name of that group?
Well, it's called Enemy. It's the Eastern New England Metaphysical Investigations. You know, I kind of co-founded it with a woman, Allison, who recently my sister had actually put me in contact with a couple of women who were on, you know, kind of had their own little thing going on. They're actually in Andover. And, you know, she kind of sent them my way, knowing that I was into this or whatever. And, you know, we hit it off beautifully. We, you know, met up a couple of times and we talked daily. And, you know, they're out there actively, like, looking up some pretty cool locations for us to hopefully check out. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I never pretend to say that we're, like, you know, like a legit team. You know, I don't really personally know what defines. We're certainly not a, you know, like, licensed, bonded, insured type of full-scale operation. We're, like, kind of like a ghetto paranormal team, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, we do what we can, but, you know, yeah. I mean, I personally don't have the resources for all that kind of stuff, and
right.
You know, I mean, we're just trying to, you know, we're all passionate about it, and it's something we're all very interested in, and, like, you know, I know a few of the people that are on the team are just, they kind of live and breathe it and absorb this stuff like a sponge, much in the way I do. Like, I'm constantly reading stuff or watching shows about it or this and that. It's just kind of like what I've always been drawn to.
Now, it's interesting the way you try to describe that, because you said that you're not sure how to label yourselves as far as, you know, it's not a job, it's not a career. There are a lot of teams out there that call themselves professional paranormal investigation teams.
Yep,
and
yep.
to me...
And there's nothing professional about them.
Exactly. Well, not only do they not conduct themselves professionally, but in order to be a professional, you need to be getting paid to do what you do.
Yep.
And if
yep.
you're getting paid exactly. to be a paranormal investigator, then there's something wrong.
Yeah, there's totally something wrong with that. That's like a direct defiance of the code of conduct, I think, right there. I mean, I kind of equate it. I mean, the little analogy I've been using a lot with people is I really look at it as, like, it's kind of like fishing. Now, bear with me on this one, but it really makes sense. It's like, all right, so you're going fishing one day, and what you're going to do is you're going to go where people say there's a lot of fish, you know, or where you think there's a lot of fish, and you're going to try your different baits, and you're going to cast out your lines, and 90% of the time, at the end of the day, you're going home empty-handed. Now, like, in my mind, that's, like, the perfect analogy for going out investigating somewhere, because you go where you think there's going to be, you know, some sort of activity, or you go where people have said there's spirits, and you go there and you cast out your recorders and your cameras or your laser grids or whatever you got going on at that moment, and, like, it's not necessarily guaranteed that you're going to catch any shred of evidence, but, like, you enjoy doing it, just like the people who go fishing can go home after, like, being in the sun in the boat all day and feel completely awesome because that's what they love to do. It's not
right.
about how many fish you caught or the biggest fish you caught. It's just about enjoying being out there while you're out there.
Right.
Just, yeah. You know, like, people like us, kind of like our version is just like sitting somewhere dark and creepy and seeing what's going on. Whether you get something or not.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And if you look at it from the scientific research aspect, I mean, not many scientific researchers get paid by the subjects that they bring in to do their research on. If
yeah,
everything
exactly.
is the other way around, you know, you pay a research subject to come take part in your research. So,
hey, right, exactly. Giving them money to
exactly.
go to their house.
Yeah. And typically, I mean, if you go to a public location, I mean, there are a lot of locations that claim to be haunted, claim to have activity, they're public, they're open, they sell tickets, and that's what you're doing. You're going to pay to go
yep.
to those places. So.
Oh, yeah. Even in some cases like that, I've seen that, you know, like places that have those type of events, at least the money is getting funneled back into, like, preserve the location or something of a historical nature, so that, in a way, is, like, helping.
Right.
And be good. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, a ticket price to on an event that's going to like go back into the upkeep of like a great location that should be preserved.
Now, have you heard of any? Have you experienced or either firsthand or heard of any questionable behaviors or actions of other team members or other teams in maybe in your area or even not in your area?
I've heard a few things about a few teams that, you know, leave me, you know, not quite as enamored or impressed. You know, like you said, just like, you know, people's behavior, maybe not the whole unit per se, but as I, you know, especially in this type of thing, I believe that definitely one bad apple is going to spoil the whole bunch, because I can't see how, like, field, like, you know, I mean, reputation has got to be everything.
Right.
I imagine, like I say, I can only speak from, like, a very low level on it, but I mean, if people think, you know, you're horrible at this, and, like, you go in and you're misbehaved, and you're, you know, you're not respectful, or this or that, or any other, you know, like, list of bad behaviors you could possibly bring out somewhere on an investigation, like, that's got to, like, fill you dead in the water. I don't see how it couldn't, because who's going to want you?
Exactly.
Teams that operate more professionally, who's going to go to, like, the, you know, the generic version that's, like, I don't know.
Now, one of the reasons that we asked you to be on the show was because of some specific history, and you said that you were open to sharing that. So,
I sure am.
Just let me give a little bit of preface to an experience we've had without giving any names or anything specific. But we had we have had you know, involvement with a team member in our. In our past, who turned out to not be at all who she said she was. Basically, there was not very much that came out of her mouth or in conversations that she shared with us. It was true. And it turns out that she had a criminal history that spanned, you know, many years over multiple states throughout the U.S. And we're pretty vocal about that. We're pretty vocal about, you know, letting people know that they need to be aware of who they're getting involved with, you know, checking up on people, understanding what they do, how they do it, if they're even who they are. And that's both.
Yep.
Not just, we do that for people who are interested in getting involved in paranormal. We do that for people who are interested in seeking help from people involved in paranormal. So clients or potential clients, as well as people involved, interested in becoming paranormal investigators. And I think that we're also very vocal about our stance that it's not that this person has a criminal history. It's that she has a criminal history. She did these things over and over and over again, and she's still exhibiting those behaviors. So we just want to make sure that, you know, that we've been clear about that, and you know, we would not ever discount someone just because they have a criminal history. We don't look poorly on people because they may have had, you know, something bad happen in their past, or, you know, black mark on their past. But some people make mistakes and they learn from them and they move on. So, and we understand that. So with that leading in, let's talk a little bit about why we have you on our show this evening.
All right, great. Well, that's easy enough. I know that's my wife right there. I know that well. When this was brought to me, I was very excited because this is a topic that, you know, I encounter, you know, personally, and it, you know, even extending beyond, you know, the paranormal field. I will be celebrating 2 years, you know, being clean and sober, you know, in the programs and doing the work and, you know, going through the steps and having a sponsor and all the things they tell you to do if you want to get your life together. You know, that is all coming off a 15-year, you know, reign of terror that I was on. You know, pretty much half my life was spent, you know, I was a hardcore drug user, you know, IV drug user, all the devastation and misery and pain that comes along with that. And, you know, I found myself stuck in that place for a decade and a half, you know, 15 years of my life was wasted, you know, trying to fill some sort of hole that I thought I had that I couldn't fill. And, you know, you always hear people say, like, I wish I knew now what I, you know, I wish I had been with, you know, what would have you, that would have made no sense that way.
Yeah.
But, because, you know, I can honestly say, like, back when I was, you know, like a 14, 15-year-old kid getting into, like, you know, serious drugs, you know what I mean? I certainly wasn't concerned about, you know, when I became 32, like, is this going to prevent me from getting a job at McDonald's? You know, is this going to, like, trip me up here? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, not paying bills from back then and whatnot. Was that going to lead to, like, you know, like, couldn't even, my fiance and I, personally, we missed out on getting, like, this great apartment because I have so much, like, credit card debt and all that kind of junk and, like, unpaid things from the past that, like, you know, they've really come back to bite me. And, you know, it's like the wreckage of my past.
Right.
And, like you said, people make mistakes and whatnot, and you know, the one thing I can't do is change what's already occurred. But you know, looking to the future, like you know, it's something I do encounter, and especially you know, concerning me in this field, because I know that stance that you know, like obviously you were just saying that you know, people will not be discounted or whatnot, but I you know. I know how it is. I know how, like, if I go through a background check at McDonald's, like, I probably will not even walk away with a job there. You know what I mean? And it's weird because it's one of those places I hate to, like, totally agree with, you know, people for doing that, but I have to. You know, I have to, like, humble myself because, like, I can totally understand how, like, you can't be bringing murderers or rapists or molesters or any of, you know, any of the, you know, I don't want to say greater evils because obviously, like, you know, I have a lot, all my charges are drug-related, you know, and they're no less evil than anything, but, you know what I mean, there's people that obviously would pose more of a danger to society than the kid that just was killing himself slowly for 15 years.
Right.
And you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. Like I say, I can't change that, but I know that's definitely, like, you know, kind of leaves me on the sidelines sometimes, you know, I'm like, you know, man, I would really like to, like, you know, try to, like, maybe apply to, like, a bigger team or, like, you know, try to be more active or try to do something like that. And, you know, I know that, like, you know, the chances of that sometimes are looking pretty slim to none because, you know, like I say, it may be all drug-related, but, you know, it is a rather lengthy record, you know. I did my time in jail, you know, I spent some time there, about 3 years worth, and, you know, in between that, like I said, I was just ruining my life daily. That's, like, all I knew how to do. Like, I didn't learn how to do anything else. It's funny that we were mentioning comics before because honestly for me the first thing, well the last thing I remember previous to like becoming the monster that I became was like collecting comics as like an innocent 14-year-old. And then all I know from there is like hurting loved ones and you know, hurting anyone to get what I needed. And you know, it was a horrible way of life and like I'm so fortunate and blessed now to like be coming up on 2 years, you know, without a drink or a drug or anything because I'm okay with myself and like I don't need to fill that hole that exists anymore.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations for the 2 years of sobriety. I'm sure it was a lot of
hard
work.
Awesome.
Now, it was hard fought, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot of hard work, especially because you said you had such a long, lengthy history of, you know, drug abuse or alcohol abuse. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how this history has impacted your getting involved with the paranormal community. Did you, when you first started to have an interest in investigating or going to haunted locations, did you seek out other teams to get involved with? Or?
Well, I mean, I would have loved that. You know, that was something that, like, I was all, like, gung-ho for. But honestly, what first kind of, like, you know, made me aware of, like, the situation I kind of find myself in was, you know, I was on a, you know, it's haunted.com. It's, like, you know, it's like a little paranormal community type of thing. But, you know, get on there, make your profile, and, you know, I was on there, and there was actually a group on there. You know, a few teams had, like, got together and made a group or whatever, basically along along the lines of, like, we, you know, they were all, like, pro not allowing, you know, criminal record in the, you know, on their teams. So I'm
right.
At all these teams that are, like, on this group and, like, realizing that, like, you know, like, Houston, we have a problem here. Like, these people are basically saying that, like, I got no chance. So, I voiced my opinion on it because, like I say, like, you know, it's kind of not the old me who would just, like, let things slide. You know, I mean, nowadays when, like, if something, you know, hurts or stings, you know, I can vocalize it and I can verbalize it and just at least, you know, make my point known that, like, I was hurt and this is how I feel, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, I said basically the similar thing to what I was saying earlier. Like, I can completely and I totally agree with you all for, you know, you can't be, like, kicking arsonists and all these types of people
right
to, like, private residences, but, like, I'm like, what about, you know, I'm always just like, well, what about me? I'm like, I was just a misbegotten youth who liked drugs too much, and, like, you know, here we are, like, you know, I mean, 2 years obviously doesn't erase the 15 of, like, bad behavior, but, like, you know, where do I fit into that little picture? Because I'm like, if most teams, like, you know, there is an application process or there is a background check, I'm like, I'm just dead in the water right from the get-go. I'm like, you know, it was kind of upsetting because I'm like, you know, I was all, you know, because I've seen it in so many other aspects, like as far as jobs and getting apartments and this and that. So I was like, you know, I kind of thought this might be like a safe haven, but once I realized it, I'm like, yeah, you're really not out of the woods yet, because this can still trip me up and, like, trying to do something that I'm really passionate about. And, so it was really, like, got me kind of down for a little while. Like, yeah, I'm just going to be, like, in the paranormal penalty box, and, you know, and not allowed to, like, allow to drink.
I mean, and we're very open with people. We tell them that, you know, we're going to, you know, we ask for two forms of identification. That's a sign, a bunch of documentation, and approve or give us permission to do a background check. We're very honest with them about, you know, we're going to do this just so we can understand who you are. And if something comes up, then we'll discuss it. So.
Yeah. So they kind of, at least they have the opportunity to kind of, like, come clean right off the bat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because if they can't be honest right up front, then the likelihood that they're going to be honest, you know, in the future is not very good. So.
Yep. Exactly. Like you said, it's behaviors. You said something.
Exactly.
Yeah, the behavior.
Yeah, the behaviors that they continue to exhibit.
Yeah. If the behaviors don't change, nothing changes. I mean, I personally have found that to be my issue. You know, about 2 years ago, the actual drugs stopped being the problem, and now it's all my behaviors that I learned for 15 years that led me to that way of life that is now, you know, more of the problem than actually, like, you know, an actual substance out there somewhere. Now it's like the, you know, the frame of mind, like you said, just like lying about things. Like, I haven't had to lie about anything in 2 years, and it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy not waiting for the other shoe to fall type of thing, or like, when is somebody going to find out about this that I lied about, and what are the ramifications going to be? Like, I enjoy just resting my head and knowing that, like, I haven't lied or I haven't hurt anybody, I didn't steal. You know, if, like, somebody at work gives me a dollar extra, like, I give the dollar back, like, that wouldn't have been me. It would have been like, ooh.
Well, you know,
back in the day. Now, like, I can't even sit right with it because I'm different.
Yeah. And you can only tell so many lies before you forget what the truth is, you know, or you forget the lies that you told, and you forget what you told someone, so you so then you tell them something different than you realize.
Yeah, you know, the foundation is real rocky, especially if you build, like, a lie tower up really high. Like, it gets pretty strenuous to keep that going for a long time. Horrible.
Yeah. And just to speak to the fact of, you know, the background checks we do and being upfront with people about not necessarily discounting them from being on the team because of a criminal history. We did actually have a member who we allowed on the team who had it was criminal behavior. He's pretty minor, but it didn't discount him from being a member of our team. And it was, you know, he was able to explain it. We were able to understand what happened. And it wasn't serious enough that it would have impacted, you know, our clients or had any negative effect on what we were doing. So.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I would assume it would have to be obviously a case-by-case, you know, type of thing, you know. Like.
Right. So just to play devil's advocate a little bit, now you have your team, and there's how many members of your team?
We're looking at about... I'd say there's like 6 or 7.
Okay. And I don't know if this is currently the case or not, but knowing your past and knowing how you were when you were doing having the negative behaviors, how do you look at getting people involved who potentially have a similar type of history?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, who's really normal? You know what I mean? In this day and age.
Yeah.
But, like I say, obviously without me doing, like, some sort of check, I mean, they just, they seem like, you know, decent, normal folk to me, which obviously, like, can totally not be true. You know what I mean? Like, people hide their true colors really well.
I have a question. Since you're, you know, in your past, you were a certain way, and you talked about lying a lot, you know, since you've turned a new leaf, are you able to recognize that in other people? Do you feel like you're better at telling if somebody's lying or, you know, somebody who's suspicious? I mean, does the radar go up, you know, go out?
I'm totally, like, I'm sitting here smiling. I'm like, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. You recognize the behaviors now. You know, obviously at the time I was blind to, like, just how completely obvious and transparent they were, because, you know, when I was out using and doing whatever I was doing, you know, in my mind, I'm like, and nobody even knows, you know, like, I was the most, like, discreet guy I could imagine, and it's such not the case, like, you know, I'm falling asleep every time I sit down, I'm nodding out and burning myself with cigarettes, and, you know, stuff's missing all the time, and, like, the whole, you know, the whole time I'm just like, oh, I'm just tired. I've been working a lot or this and that. And it's summertime. It's normal for me to be this pale and pallid. And, you know, I weigh like 140 pounds. Like, that's healthy. And I'm wearing sweatshirts and 100-degree weather to hide track marks and all that kind of stuff. But, like, in your twisted mind, you think, like, nobody notices that. So now on the other side of that, like, you know, I go by people on payphones, and I'm like, yeah, he looks shady, suspect. Right there, like, you know, I can just tell. You know,
well,
it's kind of bad to be able to recognize that behavior, but, you know, having been there, like, you can see it.
Yeah, because I know in talking with Kat and Tony about this person in their group that they dismissed who's continuing on in with her shenanigans. They said that they didn't recognize, you know, they didn't see it. She's very manipulative. Do you have any advice for people how to spot that? I mean, I know you don't really know until you come in contact with somebody like that, and you don't really think that there are actually people out there like that. I'm involved in the paranormal, but I'm also involved in politics, and it wasn't until I got involved in politics that I met somebody who is that manipulative and, conniving and just, didn't seem to have any kind of moral compass. So.
Isn't everybody in politics like that?
Yeah, I know, go figure, huh? but anyways, I'm just curious, do you have any advice? You know, spot people like that? Because I still feel like I'm naive about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like it's more of a curse than a blessing, really, to kind of be able to spot that sometimes.
A blessing.
Cherish that naivety. Believe me, like, I hate, like, knowing the things that I know sometimes. A friend of mine recently, you know, he relapsed and went out on a crazy tear or whatever and, like, destroyed his life, and, you know, he had just had a baby and this and that, and, like, I was helping, you know, his girlfriend, who was, like, close friends with my fiance and whatnot, and a friend of mine, and she comes out with us when we go and stuff, and we're cleaning out the house so she could move, because he didn't pay the rent, he took her rent money, you know, did what he had to do, and just disappeared and left her and a newborn, like, holding the bag with the landlord knocking on the door and the bills not paid and this and that, and, you know, she, I just took a quick look, like, in his room and, like, looked around, and, like, she was shocked that, like, you know, some of the things I could just pick out from, like, knowing what I know, you know, things that, like, people might miss, like, you know, like a little chunk of a cigarette filter, you know, to me, I know what that is. Like, we use that, you know, if you're shooting up, you need cotton, it's in a cigarette filter. That's what that is. Or, like, you know, the little knots from baggies or, like, little things here and there. And she said the same thing. She's kind of like, how could I be so blind? And I was like, believe me, like, you know, don't feel bad about it, because, you know, I feel bad that I have to know that stuff. I was in there like some sort of, like, you know, junky CSI unit, like, looking around like I could recognize things. And I'm like, hey, that's a spatter pattern on the mirror. Like, I bet there was a clogged needle in here. And it's crazy to, like, have all that stuff in my head still. But, like, you know, like you said, it does become apparent when you're on the other side. And, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of it probably really depends on the person, too. You know, without knowing this person that, you know, you guys are talking about, like, it's kind of hard to gauge what those behaviors might be. But, you know, like you said, people can manipulate, and, you know, just sometimes, I don't know, it's very hard to really know what somebody's motive is for something. And like you said, like, some people are really, really good at it. I mean, I thought I was good, but it was so transparent. And, some people just really thrive on the manipulation, honestly, like, kind of like a power thing. Maybe she enjoys just the ability to, like, con everybody and put on whatever facade she'd like to put on. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, makes it that she's better than, because, haha, I'm fooling all of you, and you don't even notice. Like, haha, you know, I'm something special, right? Because I'm pulling the wool over all your eyes. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Like you said, I mean, there are some people that are just devastatingly good at it. I definitely spun some pretty tall tales. When you're saying them, you think that's, like, a masterful, like, you know, you just, like, wrote some epic narrative and you're, like, completely, like, a poet or whatever, but, yeah, they really look pretty stupid on the outside when you listen to them.
Yeah. is there anybody, CJ, who you can think of that's been kind of an inspiration for you to, you know, to someone that you can look up to and kind of model yourself after and try and follow in what they've accomplished?
Absolutely there is. Absolutely. They're kind of, I consider them like my paranormal sponsors. Port City Paranormal of Wilmington, they're completely flying in the face of that whole saying name things, but Jane and Doug out there, I believe Doug was on the show with you a while ago. He said you guys were really, really great and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, they have just, ever since I've encountered them and befriended them, like, you know what I mean? Like, they just kind of, like, they've always just, they definitely embody, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know how to say it sometimes, but, like, they embody what I would love to be.
Okay.
You know, it's like, it's a husband and wife, you know, they've got this team out there, and just, they just seem like such great, genuine people, even aside from, like, you know, the paranormal aspect. You know, like, they seem happy, you know, I envy happy, you know, now that I can understand it and, like, you know, realize that that's something, like, I look for that in people, and just every interaction I've had has just been so positive. Like I say, times, you know, like, I get discouraged, you know, like I say, like, I feel like I have all these odds against me, so, I mean, there's times when I'm just like, dude, is it even worth it? Should I just, like, you know, forget about it and just kind of, like, you know, I can read my books and this and that, but, like, you know, not try to even bother with it because it's just getting me nowhere. I'm running in circles, and, you know, every time they've been like, if this is what you like to do, if this is what you're passionate about, if this is what you love to do, then, like, just do it. And it doesn't matter how you get it done or whatever. Like, you know, they've told me you don't have to be out there with a huge team, like, or anything, but, like, if this is something that means that much to you, like, don't just give up on it like that.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, they definitely picked me up out of some, like, you know, spots where I was just like, you know, just wanted to say, like, the hell with it, really. I mean, like I say, it's not like I've accomplished all that much in the time I've been trying to do this or anything. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I'm really not giving up anything aside, like, you know, the, you know, something I'm really interested in and, like, you know, maybe a little hurt to my ego and pride that I couldn't, like, you know, make something happen or make something work. But they've always just been there to, like, you know, if I have questions or how do you go about this or, like, how do you guys do that? Like, they're always just so helpful and so forthcoming, and you know, and even then, I've been honest about who I am and what I was with them, and, like, you know, they never shied away from that, or were like, yeah, whatever, like, you know, that kid's just trouble or this and that. Like, they, you know, they just always dealt with me like a real person, and like, I love that.
Now, is there a specific media or source that you turn to when you are trying to do research about any paranormal location or anything, any aspect of paranormal?
I mean, I wouldn't say there's probably, like, anyone in general. I mean, you know, if I'm looking for it, you know, there's a couple of websites, you know, convenient little things that might have, like, lists, you know, when I'm trying to, like, think of, you know, somewhere cool that obviously has some, you know, reports of activity. You know, I dip on a few things. It's like the Shadowlands, I believe, you know, it has, like, a list of, you know, just city by city. You know, I always go on, and I'm like, hey, let's see what's going on in Mass, and let's see what's going on in Lowell, you know, just trying to, you know, have some sort of ballpark so I'm not just running around, you know, for nothing. Although, you know, if that's how it ends up, that's how it ends up. But, you know, when I'm digging into things, I just kind of, you know, I dig from all different places, and, you know, I do a lot of, whenever I'm around the computer, I, you know, I try to print things up or this and that. I mean, I don't always have access to one. I can accomplish most of, like, my stuff on my phone. You know, fortunately, technology enables me to, like, be able to pretty much search the web and do what I need to do. But,
yeah.
You know, as far as, like, really bunkering down for some research, I mean, I don't know, I haven't really had to. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go all out, like, if I ever get handed the opportunity to. As far as, like, you know, if somebody was actually to call and be like, this is, you know, what's going on at my house, like, I, you know, I'm pretty sure I would be right at the library, like, on the, you know, archives, looking through the newspapers or to see, you know, whatever's been connected or happened or what's up with that land or, like, did somebody die there? Like, you know, I kind of really, I personally, you know, like, I like Antiques Roadshow. I like old things. So, like, I like the history of it, too. It's not just about, like, you know, going out and trying to, like, communicate with a spirit or something. Like, I enjoy just, like, looking into the past, kind of. And I think that's really cool. There's a lot of cool old stories and stuff like that I find just as interesting, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
history, yeah.
That's
history is a big connection to it.
Yeah, and history is one of the big things that we advocate. I mean, we do a lot of things with historic locations, and we work with historical societies, and we've done presentations for historical societies. So it's, I mean, history is what it's all about.
Oh, of course. I mean, they totally go hand in hand, I think. I mean, I just don't see. I mean, obviously, I would think. I mean, I can only, like, you know, give like what I think I, or how I would handle these things when they come up. Obviously, never having had to handle them. But
yeah.
I mean, it seems to me like you don't want to go in anywhere blind. I mean, you know, I mean, sure, most, you know, I would say pretty much most of the spirits you're probably going to encounter, you know, are going to be, you know, at least not openly aggressive or anything like that. But that doesn't discount all the, you know, sometimes people do get hurt. You know, I wouldn't want to personally go in somewhere blind, not knowing exactly, like, what's transpired at that location, like, who owned it before. What were they into? You know what I mean? Like, at least have a slight heads up to, like, not walk into something that you may not be ready for.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to get, like, shoved downstairs and, like, beat up, you know, like, trying to come out of there looking like I did when I went in.
Is there any one aspect of the paranormal that interests you more than any of the others? Whether it's, you know, EVPs or spirit photography or anything like that?
I'm really, you know, personally, I'm just enchanted with, like, the whole notion of EVPs and whatnot, just because it's, like, you know, I just picture this world of, like, spirits that's kind of, like, all around you, and, like, you know, whenever I'm, you know, if I'm, like, watching the shows or whatnot, the things that really give me the chills are usually, you know, the EVPs. It's not so much, like, maybe, like, a shadow or something that they catch on camera or anything like that, but it's, like, in my head, I just picture, like, that's kind of creepy to me to just think that they're all around you and that, like, there's something right there, like, whispering into your hand with a recorder and, like, you don't see it. And I just picture them, like, you know, you're basically just swimming in them. And, you know, that I just find that, like, you know, that kind of gives me the chills because I'm like, wow, imagine, like, what a, you know, it's like a magical world going on, like, all around you. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But the fact that it can be, like, right on top of you like that kind of, like, it's almost like not invasive, but it is because it's like in your bubble because it's right with you type of thing, I guess.
Yeah. Have you ever had an experience that kind of really shook you and scared you or made you question if this was something you really wanted to continue to be involved with?
I haven't obviously hit the field as much as I'd like to. One of my, you know, the coolest things that ever happened was, again, when I was at CAB in Tewksbury, you know, there was a few of us that were, you know, kind of into the paranormal, and we'd hang out and discuss it and stuff like that. So we actually got one of the third shift workers, you know, he's not supposed to, but he took us downstairs to, like, the old, there's an old section that's, like, locked, and there's an old library and stuff in there. So one night we went down there, there was four of us all together, like, three, you know, clients and one staff members. So we went in there and we're sitting in there and we're just kind of sitting quiet. And I don't know how to describe it, but like kind of like when you go in a place and like the room feels heavy, or like sometimes I just go in places and like I feel like I'm underwater. Like there's like the sound is a little more deafening than normal, and like kind of like something isn't weird. Kind of like a pressure almost. But that was like the only room in that section that had this feeling. So like we're sitting in there, we're all at the table, you know, just being real quiet and just kind of listening. And the kid by the door is like, you know, he's standing there and then he's like, is that footsteps? And, you know, so we're all sitting there and we're all listening and it distinctly sounded like shuffling footsteps up the hall. So we were actually waiting for another friend of ours to come with us. And we're assuming it's him, the kid, so he's at the door. And, you know, he rips open the door like he's going to jump out and scare him. So he, like, you know, he yanks open the door and jumps out into the hallway and just, like, you know, gives his ghostly roar or whatever. But he was face-to-face with an empty hallway. And we all distinctly heard, and everybody was looking at the door, like, we all heard the footsteps. And it turns out, like, the door to get in that section was actually locked, you know, behind us. The kid had locked us in. So, and the kid that we were waiting for was actually sound asleep upstairs. So, you know, nobody else could have got down there.
Huh.
But, I mean, and it's certainly not like they were, like, you know, hardcore believers or anything. You know, at least one of those kids was like actually thought we were completely stupid for doing that. And but there it was, like we heard, you know, like shuffling. You know, all I could think of is like, dude, this used to be, you know, like a tuberculosis ward, you know, at one point.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so in my head, I'm like, I can just, you know, it sounded like the shuffling of, like, maybe, you know, a patient kind of, like, scuffling up the hallway. It's all I could picture. I mean, we didn't see anything or anything like that, and obviously with no, you know, no equipment to kind of gauge or verify anything. I mean, we just have the reactions of, like, four people that were like, oh, man, what is that? I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, I personally, you know, I've never seen, like, an apparition or, you know, yet. I, you know, maybe that day will come, maybe it won't. I mean, it doesn't, I will never feel like a failure because I haven't seen, like, an apparition. And it seems
right.
Like it takes a lot no. to occur. But, I mean, you know, aside from that, like, you know, just, you know, a few things here and there, but, you know, nothing substantial aside from just, like, you know, personal experience type of thing. I mean, I personally don't have, like, anything, you know, like, archived to, like, show anybody. You know what I mean? You know, it's still pretty new to the game, you know. You know, we really haven't even had a chance to kind of get out as a full unit, you know, anywhere. You know, definitely purchased a little more equipment between, you know, back then and now. Yeah, I'm just, you know, we're just kind of waiting. I mean, it's great because I know everybody, you know, I talk to mostly everybody on the team daily, and, you know, I kind of know, like, even if I'm not talking to them, like, I know at some point during the day they're, you know, they're looking into something or they're reading something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, kind of like, you know, we're all just going, even if not, like, actively out in the field right now. And, I mean, eventually we're going to, you know, we've got a couple places that we're trying to line up, but, you know, the scheduling conflicts, you know, unfortunately I can't, like, you know, afford to, like, you know, alter my schedule too much at the moment, and, you know, everybody else has their own, you know, lives going on, too, and, you know, once I get, you know, normal living life squared away, I can, you know, devote a little more time to, you know, the afterlife.
Sure, yeah. I want to talk a little bit about psychics and the paranormal, and maybe if I can get your opinion in here, you know, what you think about, well, people who claim to be psychic who may not be, and knowing how easy it is, you know, with what you've seen in your past, how easy it is for somebody to pretend to be somebody they're not, or to con somebody or convince somebody of something. How do you feel about, you know, psychics and potentially fake psychics and things like that?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, I can totally see how, like, and what better perfect, like, you know, vehicle for somebody to be, you know, kind of conning and manipulative, I would think, in this field. Like you said, I mean, I can see from, like, a, you know, the manipulator position, like, how easy that would be. Especially, I mean, you're just preying on people who are grieving, you know, in that light. Like, oh, sure, like, you just lost somebody. Like, yeah, I'll come in and talk to them, you know, give me this money or whatever. Or, you know, it's kind of not hard to fake, like, being like, oh, I sense this or I feel this, you know, not to discredit people who might really have that ability. You know, I'm not one to, like, either be all end all on the subject, but I mean, I'm sure there's people that really are, and I'm sure there's people who are just, like, opportunistic and are, like, easy prey. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that whole bad mentality of, like, you know, preying on people for whatever purpose you have, and it's no good. It's definitely no good. And there again, it's kind of like, you know, a bad reputation kind of spoils the whole thing. So I'm sure you got, you know, the people that, I mean, you see it sometimes, like, right, the police have brought people in, you know, to help them in a case, and sometimes they do actually, you know, pull something out.
Right.
But then,
yeah.
You got the crackpots that ruin it.
Exactly. Well, like you said, you know, there's people that are, there are people who pretend to be psychic, and, you know, they're desperate for people to believe them. And they prey on the vulnerabilities of others, and those are the kinds of, I think that it, when you're aware that that can happen, and then you're aware of how people do that, it's probably easier to spot it. But people that are vulnerable, people that are, you know, at risk, and people that are, you know, hurting, and they're looking for that guidance, it's certainly easy for somebody to kind of step in and take advantage of that situation.
Absolutely. absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, kind of like, it's like an emotional parasite almost. I mean, you know, you got somebody who's bereaved or grieving or in loss, and I mean, you just, if you're going to choose to jump on that and kind of like take advantage of that, then like, you know, you got some definitely behavior issues that might need to be addressed. But that's like, I mean, that's just really predatory behavior. You know, honestly,
yeah.
I recognize that behavior because that's how I was, you know, when I was using. That's what I would do, you know. Like, if you felt that for me, I would try to, like you said, I would try to ask you to borrow money, too. You know, somebody could have gotten a car crash, and I would go to the hospital and be like, you okay? Hey, by the way, you got 20 bucks? Like, you know, it's just, you know, you can never hit the switch and, like, not be, you know, trying to work an angle or something.
All right.
And
now,
it's bad, and that'll eat them up eventually.
Yeah, definitely. Have you, because of your history and the things you know about how people can be easily manipulated or how people are manipulated, do you hesitate to work with psychics, or are you apprehensive of, you know, their abilities or just having them involved with your cases?
I don't know. I mean, I think I would definitely, you know, give it a shot. I mean, I certainly don't know anyone, you know, who claiming to be a psychic or is a psychic or anything right now. But I mean, I guess, like you say, with some observation and knowing how, like, you know, how the, you know, they used to call them back in the day, like, you know, those guys would go around and peddle like snake oil. You know what I mean? Like, if you can spot that and spot what's real, I mean, I think that could be very beneficial. You know, if you
right.
get somebody who's sensitive. You know, definitely if it's somebody who's legit, I mean, you don't want to be bringing a, you know, like you said, an imposter, basically. Like, you want to bring somebody around that's, you know, anybody could be feeling something or, you know, say, oh, there's a spirit talking to me now and this and that. And like you said, you're preying on the people in the wrong mindset. But, I mean, I would definitely, you know, like, I don't see how it could hurt if it's, you know, a person who's genuine and,
right.
and you know, and passes whatever kind of, like, internal checklist you have to, like, you know, be like, all right, you know what, I think they might be the real deal.
Now, we are going to get close to wrapping up here, but is there anything that, any words of advice you can give to somebody who may have been in your position and is interested in looking into getting involved with paranormal or... you know, just words of advice on how to proceed or how to approach that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly no expert, you know, but I just found, I mean, you know, the easiest thing for me was, I mean, it was just finding some people that I could just, you know, sit down and discuss this type of stuff with. You know, certainly not everybody that I deal with on a daily basis is like, you know, I can't sit down with them and have like a, you know, hours-long conversation about, you know, all sorts of paranormal stuff, you know, or what do you think about, like, cryptids or this or that, or, you know, so, like, just getting around some people and kind of, like, you know, not only in talking to people, but it kind of, like, you know, it spurred me to learn more, you know what I mean? Because I enjoyed it. I enjoy acquiring the knowledge. Like, I just love looking into this stuff. And when you have, like, people that, you know, that use as a sounding board or... And I mean, you start making connections and, you know, you really meet some good people. I mean, that's kind of like how this whole thing, you know, came about. You know, I happened to be talking to Kat, you know, again on Facebook. And, you know, I can't even remember what exactly we were discussing at first, but it came around to, like, you know, me discussing who I was, where I came from, where I'm at now, and, like, you know, how do I fit into the grand scheme of things with all this, you know, fraudulent stuff going around. And again, you know, by talking to the people that are interested in it, and you know, connecting with people who are passionate and into it, like I've met some really amazing people, and you know, I get afforded opportunities like this. You know, these are like the little gifts that come along from just like, you know, you got to get out there, you got to meet people, talk to people, and you know, find the right people, and things happen the right way.
Right.
I firmly believe it's only by like doing the right thing, you know, that I'm afforded this opportunity.
CJ Machado, we want to say thank you to CJ for joining us on our show and taking time out from his, you know, paranormal activities and getting his team going to share his insights with fraud you know, the inner workings of how people attempt to present themselves as other than they really are. So we're going to take a really quick break, play a commercial or two, and we'll be right back. We have Erica, John, and Kat on the line to share some further insights about tonight's show, our guests, our paranormal fraud series, and fraud in the paranormal in general. We'll be right back.
Would you like to know what it's like to be a Maine ghost hunter? See us live and in action on our YouTube video channel located at www.youtube.com/MaineGhostHunters. Got ghosts? Maybe we can help. Call the MGH Ghost phone at 207-504-6224. Or send email to MaineGhostHunters@MaineGhostHunters.org.
And welcome back once again to Maine Ghost Hunters Presents Zero Lux Radio. We just wrapped up our interview with C.J. Machado from Massachusetts. And we're going to bring in Kat, John, and Erica one by one here to join in a little bit of a post game chat. So here we go. Erica, are you on the line with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, good evening, Erica.
Good evening. How's it going?
Good, thanks. I'm going to bring in John next. John, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you tonight?
Hey, good. How are you doing, John?
Good.
And last and definitely not least, here comes Kat. Kat, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah. I can hear you just fine. Yep.
Good, excellent. I saw some comments last night that my audio seemed to be a little better in the show. Does that seem to
yeah.
be
Yeah, it was better last night.
Good. All right. So, just off the head, any comments about CJ's interview?
I definitely have a comment that I've been dying to say it for the longest time. So I've had a rapport with CJ for quite a while now, and that's why I invited him on to the show, because he really exemplifies the phrase the exception to the rule, where some people who have issues or struggles with getting into certain behavior patterns, they get stuck there and they just can't get out, and they can fake it all day long, they can fake it every day, but they're still doing the things that got them in trouble, and they're just better at it. CJ is an exception to the rule, where he has gone through, what Erica said, he's been through the dark side, he came back to the light, and he is just, he's working on himself daily, and now he's out actually helping people who are going through the same struggles that he actually went through with, drug abuse and just negative behaviors, and I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's not that he's just saying it. He's proving it. He's doing it. And coming from his background of, drug abuse and these issues that seem, a lot of these people don't make it through. They don't make it out of alcoholism. They don't make it out of addiction. He has made it out of addiction to the point where he's being accepted by the people that were above him, his counselors and his therapists and stuff like that. They recognize this guy's not putting on a show. And now he's helping people who are going through what he went through. You hear it every now and again, but you don't hear it very often. So this guy's the real deal. And that's why I was thrilled to hear he was coming, he would be on our show, and he would share his experience. He's not faking it. He's not really good at just faking it and he's still doing these things. He's clean, and he's the real deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. And in case you didn't hear, he's good at not faking it. It's impressive to see that, he's turned his life around. He made his mistakes. He paid his price. But he learned from that. He learned how not to treat people. He learned how not to act. He learned the behaviors that were unacceptable to society.
And he's not trying to hide the fact of what he's done. He's upfront
exactly.
with it.
Right, and that that point can be taken the wrong way. And I want to make sure that I put that out there. I want to be delicate about this. If you're really good at being bad, people are going to think that you've actually cleaned up your act. And that's kind of the case. That's why CJ is on the show, and he's sharing us about his dark side, and he's sharing us about rehabilitation, sharing with us about his rehabilitation and all that stuff. But I don't want people to think that what we're saying is, well, you know, they clean up their act, they're fine. CJ has gone, he has admitted his ups and his downs and, you know, his ins and his outs and his struggle to get to where he is now and all these things. But there, you still need to be cautious with people who may have had repetitive negative behavior patterns. You don't want to distrust someone because they seem like a nice person. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Am I being too harsh? Yeah.
No, it does. That's right, Erica. It makes perfect sense. And it is an important distinction. People may appear to have modified their behavior. People may appear to have changed their personality and not be doing the things that they, you know, had done that got them into trouble to begin with. But that's not necessarily the case.
Right, and that's
what...
They're
just better at hiding it.
Right, that's the issue right there, is that if you would have told me, you know, if the person that, you know, that we're doing these segments on, if she would have come up to us and said, okay, I have these issues in my past, and I'm all over it. At the beginning, I definitely would have accepted because she's so charismatic and she's so nice and go along really, really well, but the behaviors are still there. And if you've got people who are complaining, you know, about certain behaviors popping up, and, you know, like us, for instance, we're telling everybody, we're letting you know, nothing's changed. This isn't a he said, she said, you know, this isn't paranormal drama. We're telling you that we lived through this. These behaviors are still there, and we're not just picking on this person. We're trying to protect you. These behaviors are not gone. She's just really good at making it seem like she's fine. Everything's great. It was in her past. It's not. With CJ, you know, it's different. He's the real deal. The guy is a testament to what do you call it, the 12-step process? I mean, he's a testament to all these rehabilitation programs, therapy. You know, the guy's an inspiration.
Yes, and the people that he, you know, has surrounded himself with are now, you know, very positive people who are bringing really good things into his life. And he mentions that, you know, the more good things he's done, the more good comes into his life, the more positive things that are happening. Where he was just attracting negative, all this negative stuff before, and he was digging himself a hole. So
it's true. Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, it's like you say, he's digging himself a hole. And it's hard because once you get down there into a hole, especially when you feel like you're alone and like nobody understands you, you're stuck down there by yourself, and it's hard to get out.
I can't imagine. I mean, I've felt like I've been in holes before, but that's just a totally different scenario.
Yeah, and you know, there's another point. There's another point that he made very well. He said, you know, I couldn't get a job at McDonald's. I'd do a background check. I would not get a job at McDonald's. A lot of people would be a little discouraged by that. But to hear him say that I expect that, that should happen because I'm no exception. And even though he says he really is, his offenses really kind of were like low on the totem pole as far as rapists and murders and stuff like that, you know. And like you said, you know, no evil is any less or worse evil. They're all evil. But he expects that there are certain things that he should not be able to be just automatically accepted into just because it's a crap job that, you know, over the fryers at McDonald's doesn't mean that he should just be able to walk in and be able to do it. He has this maturity about the situation where he understands there are certain things I should not be able to do, and if I should be able to do them, I definitely should be looked at twice because I want you to look at everyone else twice.
Right.
Yeah, he takes responsibility for what he's done.
Exactly. I mean, I haven't I haven't asked a whole lot of people, hey, do you have a criminal record? Do you have this, that? It doesn't apply to Maine Ghost Hunters. I don't care. But when I put this ad out and I asked, hey, is there anyone out there? And CJ came forward and offered, and we talked, and I realized, wow, this guy really is in a different place. I mean, can you guys hear the wisdom in what he's saying when he was talking?
Yeah.
Yes, we can, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you can really hear the life experience and everything that he's saying.
Yeah. Well, and, so again, you know, just we want to drill this fact home. It's not, we're not on a crusade against criminals. We're not out for revenge. We want to protect our community. We want to protect people from the behaviors we feel to be predatory and the behaviors we know are still exhibited, even though they are hidden well.
Right.
And, you know, we've had a few firsthand witnesses and firsthand people who have experienced, you know, the behaviors of this person. And that's just the beginning. Two so
the
far,
person,
many more
the,
to go.
The person that we are concerned with, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's true.
We have, many more other shows with other individuals to talk about paranormal fraud in general as well. But, you know, due to recent circumstances, we felt it more important as well to bring to light this certain individual in the community.
Right. And, you know, Tony, to expand on what you just said there, more directly, if people were coming forward and complaining that they, you know, they're seeing CJ Machado, you know, in a back alley with needles and drugs, people are going to be like, what the heck, right? None of that
right.
is going on. That's what we're talking about here, is that we did not know that this person had a criminal history because they gave us a wrong name. We identified their criminal history based on their behaviors. Is that clear? We didn't know they had a criminal history. They were behaving so bizarrely, we actually tracked them down past the fake name that they gave us and found their real name. We've had how many people come and go, Tony? From Maine Ghost Hunters. How many?
Well, several. We've had a lot.
A lot. We've had probably anywhere between 25 and 40 over the past 2 years. We have never, ever done this with anybody. That is how bizarre this person's behaviors were. So for us to tell the community, you have something to worry about, and they can claim their innocence from morning until night, because what else do you expect them to do? We're telling you. It would be the equivalent of saying, you know, we see somebody who claims to be rehabbed, but we're going by the bars at night and they're drunk off their butts and they're out in the back alley doing drugs and they're not okay. It's the same thing. We're telling you.
It is. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So we are complaining. Now, if CJ had a whole bunch of people out there complaining about him, he, you know, would he have this level of respect? No. We'd be like, hey, man, you got people saying that you're doing these things. He doesn't.
Right, and more importantly, it's not just people are saying that he's done it. People have experienced it. We have people who have witnessed it. We have people who have seen it firsthand.
Right.
So.
Right. See, and I mean, I don't know how else to say it, how else to get it across that we,
right.
you know, and I just need, you know, just to be direct. We were given a totally different. This person hid their identity from us, gave us a different name, and they were so out there with their behaviors that toward the end we didn't know if we were coming or going. And when we tracked them down, then we found the criminal history. We did not know about the criminal history before we started doing research because we were looking up the wrong person. So that's, you know, that's the difference. That is the difference.
I want to expand on that just a little bit. When we first realized, I had my suspicions about this person almost from the beginning, but when it came to a point where I realized something is definitely wrong here, and it's going to end up being detrimental to, you know, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with other investigators and Maine Ghost Hunters, and, you know, our relationship with our clients and the paranormal community in general, I put my foot down and said, we need to figure out what this is wrong. I need to figure out what this is that's wrong. It had absolutely nothing to do with knowing this person's criminal behavior. It had absolutely nothing to do with knowing the crimes that they had committed in the past and were hiding from us. It had everything to do with the lies and deceit and wild, I mean, completely outrageous stories that they were telling us and just feeding us so full of crap that it was just like, this is just too much.
Right, and for people
who
are saying, well, why did you believe it? Why did you care about it? If they listen to the show, View from the Inside, when Bob Norton told us all about living with this person, he said it. He said it directly. He said, it is amazing the length this person will go through to prove a lie is true. I mean, I have emails that are just unbelievable. I mean, we were planning for a vacation on her non-existent father's yacht. Do you remember that, Tony? We were she had us and two other people planning for a vacation weekend. Like, she was sending me itinerary notices, like, what do you want to do? This is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to go. This is how it's going to go. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, we're going to drive down here. We're going to get on the yacht. We're going to go island hopping. And I'm like, all right, you know, where do you want to go? What do you mean, where do I want to go? I'm not going to tell you where your father's yacht's going to take us. I don't know where we're going to go. I've never done this before. But, I mean, like, Tony, you took time off from work that weekend. Do you remember? It was unbelievable. You know, things like that. I mean, do you have any other choice but to believe some of the things that were being said? No, we didn't have. I mean, it seemed like a really natural thing. I mean, those are the things that are said. Those are the things that are done when you invite someone on vacation for the weekend. But,
so the answer to the question, why do you care, is because it's impacting our lives. It's impacting our serenity. It's impacting our interactions with each other and our community and our clients. That's why we care.
Right, because if they're not telling us the truth, and they're with us, you know, they're talking to us 3-4 times a day, they're with us every other weekend, are we confident that they're telling our clients the truth and they only see them maybe once or twice in their lives?
Right.
You know, especially when they're telling our clients that they're psychic.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing was is that the show that we had with Bob is the fact that she was telling the same stories 10-12 years ago as what she's telling today. He was able to confirm, and you were able to confirm, almost complete each other's sentences on the stories that she was telling, which shows you that, you know, she's still doing it after God knows how many years.
And you know what, John? That's not even the beginning of it. According to her family, she's been telling these lies since she was in grade school. So she's a young kid.
So that repetitiveness and what's still going on, that's the difference between her and someone like CJ, who had the problems in the past and has taken care of his problems, owned his problems, taken responsibility for them, and is fixed his life and is working on continuing a good, clean, decent life.
Right, and you can spot them. You can pick them out of a crowd, because if there's anyone complaining about CJ, then you raise your eyebrow and say, I wonder if what they're saying is actually real, or if, you know, what's going on there. He doesn't have that issue. This person that is a problem for us is a problem for a lot of other people. And if you put us all in a crowd with a whole bunch of people that don't have a problem with this person, and you said, who's out there that has a problem, you would see hands raising up all over the place. This person is a problem. And she's telling people, it was in my past, it was 20 years ago, and blah, blah, blah. She has done things right up through recently, and these problems have not gone away. They are not gone. We are the ones raising our hands in the crowd saying, you need to watch yourself. She's very convincing. She's very much the victim all the time. She's not a victim. Like I said, we did not know her real name when she joined our team. What could make
and
us...
I can guarantee you the people that are associating themselves with her right now do not know her real name.
Possibility. I mean, we put it out there enough. They should know it by now.
But anyway, it's very important to understand that this is a pattern of behavior. This is a pattern of behavior that this person, it's more than a pattern of behavior. This is a way of life. This is how this person lives their life. This is how this person communicates with the outside world, and it's just, it's a shame. It's a shame to see this continue to happen. And, you know, all we're trying to do is bring it to light and let other people know that when she goes down, they're going down with her. And it's not
that's the shame.
That's just what's going to happen.
That's the biggest shame of it all is that you know, no one was there for us, and we always wished somebody was there for us. No one was there for us, and no one warned us. And when the disaster, and it's like Bob said, she leaves a wake of this, you know, chaos behind her when she leaves. They're going to be stuck in this wake of chaos, and we're doing everything we can to tell them to get out while you can, because when she goes, you have no idea the disaster is going to be waiting. I mean, you just don't. You're just going to be over your head in this just disaster. So, I mean, she has us probably pegged out to be enemies. Of course she does. I mean, we're talking about her, but we're not. We're doing this for your benefit. This is for the benefit of anyone who's associated with her. Really, listen to us. We're not lying. This is the absolute truth.
And it's a lot worse than people realize. Just the extent that she has, you know, the contacts that she has with other groups. You know, the way that she's weaseled into everything, you know, in the paranormal and in the New England area is just, it's flabbergasting. And very quickly too, it amazes me how somebody can do that so quickly.
She's very charismatic. We've been saying that from the start. I am not surprised in the least that she's friends with, I don't know, I have no idea how many people she's friends with, but you say she's friends with a lot. It does not surprise me in the least, because she's very convincing, believable, charismatic, but someone said this to me today, it was unbelievable, I couldn't believe it. They said, she's going to try, she's going to claim it's everything's wine and brie, but really it's all just rice and beans. And I was like, I know, right? I was just like, oh my God, yeah, it is. It's like that, because she presents herself very classy, you know, wine and brie. But when we uncovered everything, we were like, oh my God, you know, like she said, she had a medical degree. She barely graduated high school. She doesn't have, but she was believable. You probably could have gone to medical school. We couldn't believe it when we read the census. Remember when we read the census report, Tony, and we were like, only one person has a high school degree? This is weird. Like, there's no other education in this household.
And on what Erica was saying about with this many friends, it's not just New England. She has groups all the way to California that she deals with.
Yeah, and the farther away they are, John, the less contact they have with her.
Yeah.
Right.
And the less that they're going to know they could be getting taken for a ride.
Right. Yep.
True.
Yeah, but here's the thing, okay? What's probably happening is she is telling these people the same lies about her fake father that she was telling us that we knew were complete, can I say, on the air? If not, we'll have to edit it later. And they're eating it up. And they're hanging on thinking that she's going to take them somewhere. She's going to make them famous. But anyway, so that's really what's going on here. And we don't know most of the people that she's associated with. We don't want to say negative things about them, except that we know how we operate. We know the types of people that she tries to surround herself with. And this is just her MO. This is what she does.
Yep. So just be aware. All right, I'm going to jump off the line, but definitely keep talking.
You can't leave.
Okay, I'm here. I'm here.
So, yeah, so it's just, you know, we can't say it enough. People think we're hammering this person and we're harassing this person and we're focusing on, you know, their past criminal history that they paid their debt to society for. Well, you know what?
They haven't.
They haven't.
No.
They are still a leper to society. They are still an issue.
And bottom line, we need to protect ourselves just as much as everybody.
Exactly.
You get backed in the corner, you got to do, you know, what you got to do to protect ourselves and our group and our clients. And hopefully other people will listen and, you know, and protect them too.
Yeah.
There's also this mentality that people think it can't happen to them or won't happen to them. You know, when they hear these stories, it's just, you know, it doesn't happen so much that it's, you know, so common that people, you know, incorporate it, you know, into their lives, you know. It's just that foreign to them that they're going to think, oh, this isn't going to happen to me. I know I hear Kat saying that, you know, she didn't know for a very long time. It took her for, you know, a while to realize what was going on, because you just don't think, you really don't think that there's somebody like that out there. You just don't think it's
exactly
possible.
Yep.
As much as you read and see it, it's just, until it happens to you, you just don't know. And, you know, I can relate, because I've been there before.
That's exactly
right. And the clients have no idea either. You know, you think you're calling a respectable group, and realistically, they don't have to have any credentials at all to come into your home, so they need to know who is coming into their home and who's going to be wandering around in the dark where they can get to. I mean, all they have to do is pick up a bill or something that has their address or, you know, and anything could happen. These people are roaming around your house, and it could be anybody in there, so they really need to research who they're letting in their homes.
Yep, and we let people know, you know. Check your references. Ask them for a reference. You need to find out the name of the association that they've worked with, the name of the places that they've been, to get your own contact information and call and ask about people. Not just this person, any references. Ask them, where have you investigated? I want to talk to those people and see how you did. I want to see how you behaved. I want to see if anything was broken. I want to see if anything was missing.
Yeah, like you said, that's for any team or any person that comes into your house. You want to know who's coming in.
Yeah, and we are readily willing to provide references for the places we've been, and we have raving references. I mean, we go in and we leave the place the way it was when we left there, if not in better shape.
We have rules that we've set up for ourselves when we go in to help protect us and the clients. And as well as with your whole line of questioning before we even ever go in. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to be gone over and known. You know, we don't go in anywhere blind.
So it's all about knowing who you're working with and knowing how they work, knowing what they've done, knowing what their experience is, knowing what their skill set is, or lack thereof. So. Well, it's been an interesting show, and we're off to an interesting start with the series, so we're just getting started. I just want to make sure we're clear about that. We do have several shows that we have yet to air, and we have several live shows we still have planned, and lots more to discover, lots more to share, and hopefully we're, you know, getting the attention of the people who need to be paying attention. Anything you want to add, John?
Well, I'm hoping maybe with our next show we might be able to point some people in the right direction to see how to check out what's going on, you know, whether there's a Facebook page or different places they can go to kind of see what's going on. Is there a place to report paranormal fraud? You know, things that they can look up resources for. I think that might be good to bring into the show.
Yeah, definitely. We will definitely have some internet resources for people to use to check, you know, what's being said, what's going on, who people are. And, you know, there are a few paranormal Facebook groups out there that are dedicated to just this topic. And we'll also have you know, we had one guest on not too long ago that talks about good ways to do background checks and make sure you're keeping yourself and your team and your clients safe. And we'll probably, you know, we'll reiterate some of those guidelines as well. So I think that'll be kind of be a topic on all of our shows is how to do that, how to keep yourself safe.
Yeah. And for people to remember, you know, if you're talking to a team or whoever it is that you're coming in your house, if they don't want to give you information, don't let them in there. You know, that's
right.
Look for those red flags. So hopefully you can inform a lot of people on how to do things and do them safely.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, you know, this we started this show off with an interview with CJ Michetto from Lowell, Massachusetts. What a great personality he has. He's really learned a life lesson with some of his past mistakes. He's turned himself around. He's recognized he needs to be a more productive member of society, and he's doing that. He's really making a go at this for himself, and he's understanding that, you know, if he doesn't do that, he's not going to get the respect of the community. He's not going to be accepted by his peers, let alone, you know, the general public. So CJ's group is E-N-E-M-I. So we just want our kudos to CJ for, you know, doing what you're doing and doing the hard work and making it work. So, Erica?
Yes.
anything you'd like to add?
Well, sure. I know John touched on this briefly about the fact that if somebody doesn't want to answer questions or, you know, give them a good background of who they are, where they come from, and what their group does, if they're part of a group, you know, look at CJ as an example. He knows how important it is to be upfront with people. Because he knows that if you're hiding something, it's going to come out eventually. You know, you can only go so far with deceiving people. And it's just, you know, what goes around comes around.
And I give kudos and a lot of respect to CJ for going through what he has and doing what he's done and taking responsibility for it. And I hope he can keep up a good job with that.
Yeah, and you know, we understand that there are people that are associated with this person that we're talking about, not CJ, but the other person that we've had a history with, that are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, they've been associated with this person. They didn't have any idea what they were like, and all they have is one side of the story. We're really trying to make sure that they get both sides of the story and that they can understand and make their own decision and see, you know, what we've had to experience. And, you know, unfortunately, like Kat said earlier, we didn't have anybody to give us a heads up. We were completely kind of sideswiped by this and had no real support and no real input from the community or anybody who had the experience with her. So we're just trying to afford people that opportunity, all the knowledge that we've had and the experiences we've had, so they can learn from it. All right. Well, it's 9:30. I think we're going to wrap it up for the night. But we do want to let people know that are listening and people who will be listening to the archive, check back on our site here at www.blogtalkradio.com/MaineGhostHunters and keep an eye out for upcoming shows. We have many planned, and some will be announced very shortly prior to the airing, just like tonight, and some will be announced more in advance. But just keep your eye out. And keep an eye out on our website, too, at MaineGhostHunters.com. All one word, maineghosthunters.org/media. And we have all of our shows on there, links back to Blog Talk, and highlights and information about our guests. So definitely keep an eye out for that as well. And thank you for following us. Thank you for listening. And we hope you found this show, and we hope you find our other shows as educational as we intend them to be. So, again, thank you, everybody.
In closing, have a good night, and we hope to see you again at our future shows.